is a Capricorn FM podcast.
Now, today marks 43 years, that is the 43rd anniversary of Black Wednesday, when the apartheid government banned 19 black consciousness organizations and several anti-government newspapers such as The World and The Weekend World on 19 October 1977. A number of events were planned for today, so we're looking at some of those, but let's talk about issues around media freedom and what this actually signifies. 43 years later, where are we around this? Are there new challenges that are different from those? Then you're talking about freeing the media. And now are you talking about a different aspect of the media, that those that says the media has its own internal challenges that it should look at? But let's speak to Mahlatsi Mahlatsi from SANEF. She's the Secretary General. Good evening, Mahlatsi. Welcome to Progressive Talk.
Good afternoon, Ngamula. Thank you for having me.
Good evening indeed. Now, when we look at this, maybe let's start in the beginning and give background to Black Wednesday. How important is that? What is its significance?
It's quite a significant day in the media freedom calendar for because we remember that 43 years ago, the apartheid government tried to silence the media at the time and silencing them because of the job that they were doing of exposing the brutality of the apartheid regime. We know that several black consciousness leaders, including the editors and the deputy editors of The World and The Weekend World, Akri Cluster and Mr. Kobosa, were arrested on this day. But we remember it now because it is a reminder that the Section 16 of our Constitution was hard won, and people put their lives at risk to ensure that you and I can do the work that we do without fear or favor today, protected by the country's Constitution.
Are we doing the work without fear and favor today, would you say, Mahlatsi?
I think we are. You know, yes, there are aspects that we can improve on. I think that media credibility is always an ongoing conversation. And in the past few years, there have been a few reasons why the trust barometer between the media has declined. But let's look at, for example, what's happening at state capture. Half of the stories that we're hearing coming out of the state capture, it was the media that exposed them. We are actually having the Commission of Inquiry now. Sorry, I'm trying to run away from my son.
Okay, yeah.
We are having the
you are very free. You are very free in there.
Yeah. We are having the Commission of Inquiry now because of the work of the media. And remember the Gupta Gate. I mean, we can even argue that the pressure on the ANC to end up releasing then President Jacob Zuma early from his tenure was largely because of the work that the media had been doing, relentless, uncovering the rot of our country. And, you know, while we are shocked every now and again with some of the headlines, we know that there's Bristol story. It was uncovered by the media a few years back already.
All right. When we continue, we'll look at what are the challenges that the media is facing and issues around media ethics that some are raising. Progressive Talk. We're talking to the Secretary General of SANEF, that is Mahlatsi Mahlatsi. There we're looking at Black Wednesday. So, Mahlatsi, when we look at the media now, you know, there was a time we were talking about the media tribunal and things like that. So there are those that are saying the media is also being weaponized for political gains for others, that it's getting involved in political issues and setting political agendas. So there are questions around media ethics. What is your take around that?
I remember at the South African National Editors Forum, we actually felt that there were things that went horribly wrong. The media has had to also look at itself in terms of what we are trying to recover from as a country, which is state capture. And we launched the SANEF Credibility Inquiry, which is led by Judge Kathleen Setwell. We were supposed to have released it by this month. However, they have asked for an extension, and we are hoping in the next few weeks will be releasing at that. And part of it was that we expect others to be held accountable, and we hold them to account in the news reports that we do. Mm. But as an industry as well, we need to hold ourselves accountable. And that's why that credibility inquiry was so critical. And part of it is so that they can make recommendations so that we can avoid the things of the past, so to speak, because they were there. There's no moving away from them. We know that publications like the Sunday Times have actually made major apologies for the stories that they have read. And I think it just is a reminder that, you know, we have to continuously keep ourselves in check and review systems that we have in place and see where we need to strengthen where necessary. However, having said that, I think that the fact that we are able to hold ourselves accountable, it's another indication that you don't want the state to be involved in regulating the media, because we have seen in many parts of our continent and indeed across the world, when the government has that much power, what that translates into. That means you have journalists jailed.
Yes.
But you have stories some stories not seeing the light of day.
Yeah.
And basically a government that can try and silence the media.
But you, and they're saying that we're able to hold ourselves accountable. But are we? There are journalists who would say they do not recognize SANEF. Of course, we've got the press ombudsman for other matters. But are we, when you look at it, of course, the credibility inquiry will tell us to what extent we still have our credibility as the media. But if, as a prominent journalist in the country, when you look at what you've seen, experience what you've seen in different newsrooms, I know you've been in different newsrooms as well, do you think that we are able to successfully hold ourselves accountable?
So, yeah, I mean, I think just to clarify around SANEF at least, is that so we are a volunteer organization.
Yeah.
Our main aim, obviously, is to push for the protection of media freedom so that people, journalists, can do their work without being threatened. And yes, you know, there will be those that view us in a different light. But I think what's more critical is the Press Council, because that's an independent body. Because with SANEF, you can't have editors basically judging themselves, so to speak. But the Press Council is more independent and it's more regulated. And I think it makes the important point is that we have seen the frustration of those that want to actually demand justice from media houses, but are frustrated because the media houses are not part of the Press Council and they are finding themselves with no recourse.
Mm.
And I think the importance of the Press Council is best highlighted there. I think the fact that you've got Professor Anton Harbour's book that has come out now,
yes,
part of that process of holding ourselves to account and the media being asked and even the public also being able to vote with their rendered sense. And, you know, I think there's so many aspects of how to hold the media accountable. And
yeah,
part of it is that the public also has so much power, because if they don't believe what Ngamula is saying right now, they've got the power to change that. And you will see that in the audience numbers declining. Whether it's the newspaper, you will see it when they actually do not go and buy that newspaper. And I think that our democracy is so robust that we are able to have these conversations where I'm able to say to you, yes, there's points where the media has gotten it wrong, and when it has gotten it wrong, we need to self-introspect and actually commit to doing better to the public we serve.
Right. And when you talk about credibility of the media, of course, the inquiry will give us a very good picture. And that would be something to work, is perhaps a slightly scientific basis to work from. But from your observation, do you believe the public still trusts the media?
Look, I think the barometer that we use indicates that the trust relationship between the media and the public has been declining. But it's in part, not necessarily because of the work of the media. Mm. I think in South Africa, we have suffered from things like Bell Pottinger, and I'll use an example that we still have words like WMC dominating our conversations, because that was the power of the Bell Pottinger campaign to try and discredit the media. And those campaigns are still continuing. You write about a politician and expose that they've got their fingers in the cookie jar. And what is the response that they make? This is Stratcom. This is white monopoly capital at play. And that's part of that disinformation campaign against the media. And we must always ask ourselves, who benefits the most when the public doesn't trust the media? It's usually the politicians who are, or even the private sector, that is finding itself on the wrong side of the law, and they are doing all that they can to try and weaken the media because that's their only escape route. We have seen this horrible, disgusting attacks on especially female journalists on the Twitter feed. We have seen when politicians threaten journalists and try and create this chilling effect on reporters. And part of that campaign is to try and silence the media. And, you know, they're not subtle ways, but they're very overt and very out there, because when the public does not trust the media, then they stand to benefit. But just to say, you know, one of the things that COVID-19 exposed for us is that people turned to trusted media sources in the face of this pandemic. Our research that we did at Senate, I mean, we saw numbers grow exponentially, whether it was on television, radio, or even online, which showed that people actually turned to trusted news sources in the face of a pandemic, in the face of not knowing. And that is quite critical. And that shows you that people still depend on traditional media sources for their information, for their credible information.
Thank you very much, Mathatse. Good evening to you.
Thank you for having me.
Good evening.
That was a Capricorn FM podcast. For more podcasts, visit capricornfm.co.za.